Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. What a depressing thought. I mean, we know it's true, but it just is such a horrible thing to say to people. If you were to walk up to somebody on the street and speak this to them, you can imagine what might happen to you. Is it any wonder, then, that the churches that are all about making people feel good and try their best not to offend anyone with anything don't touch this ancient tradition of putting ashes on their foreheads, even with a 10-foot pole? This year, like last year, unfortunately, COVID has provided a useful excuse for many Lutheran congregations to discontinue this old practice as well. There's no one that will deny that hearing these words and putting a cross of ashes on your forehead isn't a difficult and embarrassing reminder that the wages of our sin is death. This tradition is not commanded or forbidden by God, so it can be used or not used with a good conscience. But when it is taught and used rightly, I believe it is beneficial for this life of faith. As you read in the bulletin last week, or maybe just tonight, this ancient practice of imposing ashes is what gives Ash Wednesday its name. The church father, Tertullian, writes that this practice is a public expression of repentance and of our human frailty that stands in need of Christ, our Savior, from sin and death. So as you're hearing the gospel lesson that says to do all of these things in secret, it says nothing about keeping your repentance hidden. But instead, repent publicly of your sins and receive His forgiveness. These ashes remind us quite forcefully of our need for redeeming grace, as they recall the words from the liturgy for Christian burial: earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Words that will someday be spoken over every single one of us. So tonight we enter into the penitential season of Lent with ashes on our foreheads and repentance in our hearts and on our lips. We pray, Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy. And we cling to His promises of salvation. Many don't think they're in any danger of hell because they don't think that their sins are very serious. Many have claimed that they don't even need to confess because they have nothing to confess. They should listen to the words of a hymn: ye who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, here may view the nature rightly, here its guilt may estimate. Mark the sacrifice appointed, see who bears the awful load. 'Tis the Word, the Lord's anointed, Son of Man and Son of God. The cross, the death of Jesus, that's what it took to pay for our sinfulness. What many who are repulsed by the cross and so also then by the use of ashes don't remember or have never even known is that the cross does not only put us in mind of the wages of our sin and death, but also of our salvation, specifically of our baptism into Christ's death and resurrection from the dead to save sinners. For when you were baptized, you were buried with Christ, that you might also rise with Him. When you were baptized, this sign of the cross was made both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Then after that water, which is not just plain water, but water included in God's command and combined with God's word, was sprinkled and poured over your head, and you were forgiven. You were rescued from the devil, and you were made a child of God. We are baptized once for the forgiveness of sins, and yet this baptism has a lasting effect. In fact, we live each and every single day in our baptism. That is how the putting on of ashes and the confession of our sins is related to baptism. We're not baptized again. We repent and we're absolved. We return to our baptism, to where God has already made us holy. We live each day in our baptism as we repent of our sins and hear Christ's beautiful words of absolution. Therefore, each day is a new start. The new man comes forth. And yet each day, usually very early in the morning, we've failed again. Each day there's judgment. And yet each day there is God's grace. And so we return again and again to the one whose word kills us, because it is through the same word that we are also made alive. To whom else shall we go? You alone, O Lord, have the words of eternal life. And holy baptism is God's work of giving life. It is His gift of salvation to all who believe the words and the promises of God. Baptism is not our decision to dedicate lives to Jesus. It's not the keeping of an ordinance so we can earn God's favor. And it's not only an outward sign or act of righteousness. The cross of ashes is not something we have done as an act of righteousness before God either. This doesn't earn you anything before God. It's not meant to show others just how penitent you are. It's to remind you that you need a Savior. It's also a reminder to others that see you that all mankind is created in the image of God and that we're all under the same condemnation because of sin, and that there's only one Savior from sin and death, only one who can bring us to righteousness, the one who died on the cross. So as you look around tonight, look at that person sitting next to you. Look at that sinner sitting next to you. When you go home tonight and you look in the mirror, know that you also are numbered with the sinners. Look around at all the people of this world and remember that Christ has died to save sinners. He died to save the sinner next to you. He died to save the sinner who cut you off at the light. He died to save the sinner that looks back at you in the mirror. Everyone likes to receive accolades and awards and a pat on the back, but we are not so eager to admit that we are sinners, especially when we must admit just how sinful we really are. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? We can't even number our sins. But with you, O Lord, there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared. And that is the reality that we remember and confess as we wear this cross of ashes and as we hear those words, dust you are and to dust you shall return. God is justified in His judgment of our sin. He's also the one who justifies, who makes righteous, who forgives our sins. We do not deserve anything good from the one who is good. We can't earn His blessing. What we have earned and deserve is death and hell. And yet Jesus does not give us what we deserve. With Him there is forgiveness. Therefore, we do not despair. Instead, we cling to holy baptism, to the words of absolution, to the Lord's Supper, to all of these things that God has done for us. The water connected to His word, the bread and wine connected to His word that gives life, the forgiveness of sins paid for with Jesus' own blood. You know that water will remove this stain of ashes when you get home. But it's only the blood of Jesus Christ that can wash away sins. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. So as you wash this cross of ashes off of your forehead tonight, remember how your Lord has washed you clean in holy baptism. Not just an outward washing away of dirt, but how he has created in you a new heart, a clean heart, a living faith, and renewed a steadfast spirit within you. Remember that he loves you, and that is why he gave his life up for you. That he has forgiven all of your sins, even the ones you cannot number and do not know about. He has made you an heir of heaven, and he does not give you up to the bitterness of eternal death. The one who knew no sin became sin for you. He died for sinners and rose again to life in order that you would have eternal life in his name. Let us pray. We now commit this body to the ground, earth to earth, dust to dust, in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ, who will change our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him to subdue all things to himself. God the Father, who created this body, God the Son, who by his blood redeemed this body, God the Holy Spirit, who by holy baptism sanctified this body to be his temple, keep this body to the day of the resurrection of all flesh. Amen. O Lord, teach us to number our days in your peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Ryan Wendt. You've just listened to a sermon preached at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. I hope that you heard God's law that reveals your sin and his precious gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven for his sake. These sermons are posted not as a replacement for gathering together with other believers around Christ's word and sacraments, but for our members who are away at school, at work in foreign countries, or who for some other reason are not able to be with us regularly. If you've been listening and do not have a church home, please consider contacting us through our website, and I will be happy to help you find a faithful congregation and pastor near where you live. Or if you're listening to us locally, why don't we get together for a few minutes and talk more about what we believe? If you'd like to support the work the Lord is doing through his word in this congregation and in our community, please get in touch with me through our website. The Lord's richest blessings to you this week and always in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.